one of the duties I had when I was a child, the tasks that I thoroughly enjoyed doing. There were so few, you know, cleaning my room, you know, drying the dishes, doing other things. But this task, every time my mother asked me to do it, I couldn't get to her fast enough, and that was to burn the trash. Now, I know you guys grew up in the city and all this green stuff and everything, but the point being is, in the country, we didn't have trash pickup at that time. And so we burned our trash. Dad built a cinder block kind of thing and the screen over the top of it, and threw our trash bags in there, and I got to play with fire for about 35 to 40 minutes when that happened. So I was, as a little boy, that was just like the coolest thing in the world. But I learned a lot in burning the trash and became kind of an expert, you might say, about burning trash. You know, you just didn't light the outside. You had to get deep within and ignite the fire. And then during the process, you had to, you know, have your stick in order to like dig through it and make sure everything burned up well. So yeah, that was the first thing that I became an expert on doing in my life, was burning trash. I'm trying to think how I connected that to the readings, but I'll get there, I'm sure. The readings today, the first reading invites the people of Israel to enter deep within, to recognize that God's law is not there to be an obstacle in any way, but for them to have life, to have freedom, to do the things that God created them to do and to be. And the invitation is that the choice is there in front of them, that they're inviting them to choose life, to choose to do God's commandment, and from it to possess life for themselves. But we see the limitations of that law in the sense of it being embodied. We see that in the gospel text today because Jesus seems to say it doesn't go far enough. It's not enough just not to kill. If you become angry with your brother in your heart, you have already murdered him in your heart. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, what are you asking of us? It's like, boom, throw it bigger 101. You know, the law of Moses, version 1. Law of Moses 2.0. Improved and better. Harder, heavier to carry. Is that not what we hear when we hear the gospel today? It seems like, Jesus, what are you asking of us? At what depths are you asking us? Because, you know, at a certain point in our life, I mean, I reached it. I lived my life. And then at a certain point, recognizing that I needed to live it more authentically as a Christian, probably was in seminary when I realized, I'm like, well, I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do exteriorly. I'm not cussing and swearing anymore. I'm not doing those other things. But inside, it's still a mess. Inside, I'm still angry or lustful or tempted to jealousy or greed or hurt. And I thought to myself, well, have I reached the epitome of Christian life where I'm not doing that stuff on the outside? I'm kind and listening. And then the inside is just this cesspool of like a circus of crazy things and temptations and thoughts and all of this stuff. Is this the epitome of Christian life? Have I reached the end? And now, just for the next, you know, 70-some years, I get to just do the battle inside. Clearly, the gospel text today reveals to us this is not enough. It's not the fulfillment of what God has for us or His desire for us. It is not enough. My brothers and sisters, if I said that's the epitome of the Christian life, how many of you from the depth of your heart would say, that is not enough? I want peace in my heart. I want love and joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want that to rule in my heart. I don't want to just be able to restrain myself from punching my brother. I actually want to not get mad at him. I want him not to be able to touch whatever wound it is in my heart that every time he touches, I just want to pummel him. I'm throwing that as an example. I do have two brothers, but that's not our relationship. But do you want more, my brothers and sisters? Because, and I'm assuming that you actually want to live a good Christian life. I mean, you're here, right? So I'm hopefully making that assumption correctly. Because if you're hearing the gospel today and going, well, I really would like to do all of those things, but instead of figure out a way to do it, then we got to talk after Mass. So I'm assuming that these things that you hear, you're like, yeah, I don't want to do those things. I don't want to be involved in them. But I want my heart to be changed. Today, my brothers and sisters, it is a message of hope. Because of what Jesus has done, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit and the Father, we can possess this. We can enter in. My brothers and sisters, the greatest obstacle for this to happen is not your weakness, but sin. Sin is the biggest obstacle. Why? Because sin separates us from God, who is love. And if we want to possess these things in our heart, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those are all the fruits of the Spirit. Where the Spirit is present, those things will be present. If we desire these to be a part of our heart, then the first obstacle we must enter through, pass through, deal with is sin. Jesus dealt with that. Definitively. By his life, his death, and his resurrection, he dealt definitively with that. John declares, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who comes to take away the sins of the world. Every sin by the blood of the Lamb can be forgiven if we humbly ask and seek that forgiveness. So the first obstacle is sin. So the thing about it is, as I was reflecting on this yesterday and preparing my homily, I was walking down Southwest Boulevard, which is kind of weird because I don't usually take walks, but I'm like, I got to get out of this house. And so I'm walking down Southwest Boulevard asking the Holy Spirit, come, reveal to me the things that I have not forgiven, that people have done to me. Reveal to me where I am stubborn of heart, where I have not forgiven those that I need to forgive. If you have something, or your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go and be reconciled. Then come back. And so I was walking down Southwest Boulevard just asking God, reveal to me the places I need to forgive, the people, the situations that I need to let go. Reveal the sin that I might confess it, that I might be free, that every obstacle that would separate me from you, who are love, that it would be destroyed and wiped out. Why? Because when we come into contact with love, when we enter into love, this is the means for our transformation. This is the means for our conversion. This is the means. It is entering into the love of God. And so one, what Jesus offers to us as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, by his blood we have been forgiven. And it's not a one-time shot for everything, because my brother said I probably should take a walk every day down Southwest Boulevard asking the Holy Spirit to reveal the places where I need to forgive and to let go and to ask for forgiveness for the times I have failed. It's an ongoing process. We don't want any sin to stand between us and the love of God. So we have the means in Jesus by the blood of the Lamb. It is available to us, my brothers and sisters. And if God reveals something grave, I'll meet you back there in the confessional. And you will know without a shadow of a doubt that your sins have been forgiven, not only by God, but by the church, by your brothers and sisters. You know, when we sin against our brother, we actually should go and reconcile with them. Not just say, well, I talked to God. You know, I don't need to talk to you. I talked to God. We're good. You know, like the brother's like, really? You don't need to say you're sorry, you know? It's a reconciliation, both of God and family. And you come from the confessional. You know that that has taken place. Just know I'm very generous with your mercy. All right? It's my job. The second thing, the gift of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters. That once the temple has been cleaned, once every obstacle has been laid waste, once the blood of the Lamb has purified the temple, then it is the invitation of God to make it His dwelling place, to place His love within each and every one of our hearts. It's not an encounter with a thing, it's an encounter with God, God Himself desiring to dwell within us, and there to bring all of the consequences with it, to change all of the relationships, to renew, to purify, to speak life and light and truth. I cannot say that enough. I've been saying it for months now. I don't even listen to my own homilies anymore because I'm like, I just keep saying the same thing over and over. God wants to bring His truth and His life into the depths of our hearts. This is the trash burning analogy. When I burned the trash, I had to stir it up. I had to get the fire deep within. I kept seeing the JCPenney catalog. Remember the big thick ones they used to send out before the internet? And sitting there stirring it back and forth so that all the pages would catch fire, that it would burn up, because if I didn't do that, I'd go out there and Dad'd be like, did you burn the trash? And I'd be like, oh gosh, all that stuff is left in there. You had to dig down and pull it apart and let the fire enter deep within. My brothers and sisters, the fire that God wants to ignite within our hearts is not a fire of destruction. It will destroy all of that that is chaff, all of the lies, all of the darkness, all of the unbelief, all of the parts that we've clinged to that are not life-giving, that are not truthful. They will be burned up. He's bringing it to a test. And so many of the things that are not of God cannot withstand the test, but who you are, the depths of your being, the goodness that is there will survive, and it will be purified in this fire. The fire He ignites within us is not to destroy us, but to refine us, to make us purified, to make us true. Lastly, my brothers and sisters, there is a part that our Heavenly Father plays in this. You have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, but there is a part that is reserved for the Father. We know who our mothers are. Do we not? Moms, I'm telling you, you got a specific and special role in the world. This gift that you possess, and they were like, oh, it's not such a gift, you know, but yeah, okay, whatever. To possess within yourself life in an intimate way of life growing within you, that everything that that child needs is drawn from you, that the child knows your heartbeat as the first song that it knows is the heartbeat of its mother. The intimacy that mothers have with their children because of the process of coming to life and being birthed. We know who our mothers are. But the role of the father is very important. For the father to place that child on his lap, to look at that child with love and to say, you are mine. We need the Father's voice to claim us as our own. We know who our mom is. You know, mom's like, yep, I was there. You know who I am. But the role of the Father to speak and to claim, it is incredibly important, because when he speaks, he calls us by name. How important the Father's voice to call you by name, to declare who you are. We long for that. There's something in our DNA as human beings that it's necessary for human fathers to do this, to lay claim to us, to say, you are my child, you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter. It is necessary for our psyche. It is necessary for our heart to receive this from an earthly father. And if it is so, it is so much more important that it happened from our heavenly Father. That in that moment when all barriers are removed, in that moment when his love takes up its place within us, that he could declare with all truth, with all power, you are my beloved child. And to call you by name. We enter into this mystery, my brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit scrutinizes even the depths of God. He scrutinizes our heart. He draws us into truth and love and light. We are invited to enter in. So often when we think that we're doing the wrong thing and we see it expressed in our actions, that the problem is us. Like, I'm just not strong enough. I'm just not holy enough. I'm just not good enough. It's not the problem, my brothers and sisters. The problem is we haven't entered into the truth. And we haven't allowed that truth to transform us, to change us, to accept it, to embrace it. I'll share with you, the other day, the other day was my birthday. Yeah. So I was with some friends in the evening, and they had a cake, and they took the time to go around the table and affirm me in things that they saw within me. How easy do you think that was for me? To let them speak good into my life from what they saw. Not so easy. Even after the fact, the things that they said were kind of echoing in my heart. And I had a choice to make of believing what they said or rejecting it. And the devil was right there. My brothers and sisters, that choice we make 1,000 times because of the good that God speaks to us in our heart of who we have become by the blood of the Lamb and by the gift of the Holy Spirit. The reality is, if you want to have peace within your heart, if you want to do the good actions of a believer and as a Christian, then our heart must change. It must be the place of encounter with God. It must be the place. And I'm telling you, it is a very special and very precious place. It is the depth of who you are. It is the seat of who you are. But the invitation for us is to allow God to be enthroned there. Not to enslave us. Not to ruin our life. Not to make life burdensome. To speak truth and life and light that would transform and to set us free to truly be who we were made to be. It starts there. And so this message today is a message of hope. Put it in the frame. Yeah, the frame's got hope written on it. Yeah. If I knew what color hope was, that's what color the frame would be. It is a message of hope. It is not on you. It is not on your ability or lack thereof to be able to find the peace that you long for. It is receiving what God desires to do in your heart. Receiving it, being open to it, being humble. I was not so humble in receiving what they were saying to me in that birthday affirmation thing. And part of me, the old man in me that needs to die, wanted to prove them wrong. But the truth is, my brothers and sisters, I have become a new creation in Jesus Christ. And so have you. And the greatest obstacle to living that out is believing that. It is all there. It is all there. Receive the goodness and the love that God wants to put within your heart and allow it to be the means of your salvation and the means of living the life of peace and love and joy that you desire to live. Amen.